Greetings and welcome back to another ongoing series of Shiurim and Daf Yomi. My name is Yitzchak Et Shalom. We are now in Masechet Avodah Zarah, Daf Mem Vav Amud Aleph, in the middle of the Amud, continuing with our discussion of Mechubar LeKarka and what constitutes something that's Mechubar LeKarka, such that Avodah Zarah does not attach to it. And in the middle we have this discussion. Itmar, Avnei Har Shenidaldalu, if rocks became dislodged from a mountain, Bnei Rabbi Chia, which is Chizkiah and Yehuda, so Bnei Chizkiah, Rabbi Yochanan, Chadamar Asurot, Chadamar Mutarot. And whenever you have this sort of position, the Gemara has to do two things. First of all, it has to figure out what's the reasoning behind each position, as it always does. And second of all, to try to ascertain, if possible, which person held which position. My Tama Demanda Amar Mutarot. So let's go first. What is the reason for the position that it's Mutar? Kehar, it's just like a mountain, meaning Mahar she'en bo tfisat yidei adam mutar. Since a mountain is untouchable by Avodah Zarah, meaning Avodah Zarah doesn't attach to it because man had nothing to do with putting it there. Afani she'en bo tfisat yidei adam mutarin. Same thing, these rocks. Man didn't put them there, man didn't sludge them. They're all put there by nature, by God, and therefore Avodah Zarah doesn't obtain. Now, we'll challenge that. Mahar she'en mechubar. After all, mountain is in the ground. These things are loose. The answer is behema tochiach. Remember, a live animal cannot become an object of Avodah Zarah either. So the behema teaches us that just because something is movable doesn't mean that it can become Avodah Zarah. It's a mala behema shekein ba'alat chayim, but an animal is alive. So har yochiach, so the mountain can prove that being alive is not a necessary prerequisite for being untouchable. V'chazor hadin, lo rizek yirizev, lo rizek yirizev, meaning that each one has a unique perspective. We have to find the common denominator. Hatzad ha-shaveh shebehen, she'en behen tfisat de adam u'mutar, that they don't have any human involved in creating them or putting them where they are. And mutar, of course, she'en behen tfisat yidei adam u'mutar, and that includes, of course, the rock that was dislodged. Now, let's challenge this further. After all, an animal, as is, and a mountain, as is, are exactly the way that they were created. So we have to modify our Balat Mum. Let's say an animal that broke a leg, or an animal that got his nose chopped off. It still can't become a Avodah Zarah, even though it doesn't look like it did originally. Umehar, in a mountain, of course, or we can go the other way. Nami b'mehema tama, an animal that isn't hurt. Umeh ilan yavesh, a tree that dried out. If you have a tree on top of a mountain and it dried out, it's not the way that it originally was, and yet Avodah Zarah does not attach to it. Now, uman di asar, so the other one who holds that it's asur, that's why the pasuk says you shall reject and treat this thing as an abomination. Even though you could use logic to prove that it's mutter, as we just did, lo tacha, don't use that logic and nonetheless regard it as asur. In other words, the pasuk just simply says that unless it's explicitly untouchable by Avodah Zarah, regard it as touchable by Avodah Zarah, vulnerable to Avodah Zarah, and it is asur. Now, who said what? Must be that Rabbi Chia's sons, meaning Chizkiah, was the one who said it's mutter. Why? The boy Chizkiah. Chizkiah asked the following question. Zakaf beitzal ishtachavot la. Let's say that a guy turned an egg on its side and set it up in order to bow down to it. Mahu, meaning is the egg osser. Now, kosalka daitach ishtachavot la bishtachavala. We assume that he actually bowed down. V'kami baile, his question was this. Haizikifata, yavi maaseh, lo avi maaseh. Meaning, is his setting it up considered to be a maaseh, or do we regard this thing as it's a natural state? In fact, you set up an egg, it's still just an egg, and it's not like a pestle that you put on a pedestal, and therefore it's not asur, it is a significant maaseh. Avaloza kaflo mitzura. And of course, that would mean that if he did not set it up, even bowing down to it wouldn't become asur, because that means that Chizkiah, by posing this question, certainly assumed that if you don't set it up, it's mutar, because even though it was originally part of a Baal Chai and got dislodged, just like the rock got dislodged from the mountain, nonetheless, it cannot become asur. So the answer is that no. Leolam emelacha b'nei Rabbi Chia de Asri. Could be that Chizkiah is the one who asers. And indeed, if you bow down to this egg without having set it up, it would become asur, just like the rock. What's the case here? You just set it up and didn't bow down. Well, wait a second. Ulaman, we have a machloket when if a Jew designates something for Avodah Zarah but doesn't yet worship it, is it already Asr? According to the one who says it's Asr immediately, so Asura, you set up the egg, it's Asr, you designated it. If, according to the position it says, that he actually has to worship it first, we'll deal with this in the next parak. According to the circumstance you just set up, he didn't worship it yet. So it must be a case where you set it up, you didn't bow down to it, a guy came along and bowed down to it. Because Shmuel, after all, said, if you set a brick up, and this is like probably a larger brick than the kinds we have, and a guy came along and bowed down to it, then it's Asur. And now his question was, maybe it's true about a brick where you could see that it's set up, but an egg, setting it up, it's such a small thing, nobody could really see it, so this goy may not have known that it was designated for that, and therefore, think about this, if a goy comes along and worships my thing, building or whatever it is, that means it doesn't mean anything, because you can't answer something that's not yours, unless I set it up for that. And so Rabbi Chiya's question, meaning Chizkiya's question, had nothing to do with our problem. It had to do simply with another question of, if Yisrael sets a little egg up in a position for Avodah Zarah, but doesn't worship it, and a goy worships it, does that answer it right away? Or is it setting it up such an insignificant act that it would not count? And the answer was Teiku. Okay, so by Rami Bar Chama poses two questions which are alike. Rish Lakish poses a third question which is of a different sort, and then we fill in the gaps, as you'll see. So we've already established that if you bow down to a mountain, that there is no Isur of Avodah Zarah that obtains to the mountain, because Mechubar cannot become Usur. However, what happens if you bow down the mountain and then you quarry rocks from there, you can use the rocks for the Mizbeach? And the question is this, Yesh Neva ben Mechubar Eitzel Gavoa, meaning, do we regard that which is mechubar essentially really nevad? It's worshipped. But there's a gzirat ha-katuv that it doesn't really get considered avodah zarah, but it really is considered worshipped. And therefore, legabe, the mizbeach, legabe, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we're going to have a higher standard and it's aser. O ein nevad mechubar yitzel gavoah. Or perhaps it doesn't apply at all. Now you got to remember that if you take an animal and you set him aside for worship of avodah zarah, he is pasul mizbeach, even though he doesn't have a din of avodah zarah, as I mentioned a couple minutes ago. So now, but even if you say that something that's worshipped is considered rejected for Hashem, korban damu olav. Question is, the Mizbeach is not itself a korban, it's a vehicle for a korban. So do we say that something which is a vehicle for a korban, machshire korban, are they also like a korban, and therefore these rocks are also the Mizbeach? Or do we say not? Now, Rava tried to prove that it is asur. Kal v'chomer. Uma etnan shemutar betalush lahedyot. After all, an etnan, which is payment for a zonah, which even if it's not connected, if it's an animal or a bracelet or whatever it is, a person's allowed to get benefit from it. The zonah could sell it at a pawn shop and somebody else can use it. There's no isur hanah. Nonetheless, asur b'mchubar l'gavoah. It's asur to be used for a korban, even if it's mechubar. That's an assumption we're making. We'll see why. And the notion of beit hashem lokecha means even a bayit. So lo shta talush v'lo shta mechubar. So therefore, watch this. We see that even something which is totally permissible for a non-mikdash use, like an etnan, but even if it's mechubar, it's also legavoah. So certainly, Nevad also betalish lahedyot. If something is worshipped, I'm not allowed to get any benefit from it. It's not connected to the ground. Einodin shasur mechubar legavoah. So certainly it should be also legavoah, even if it's mechubar. That's Rava's kal v'chomer. I'm the Ravuna Breidu Yeshua. So his Talmud said to him, the Rava, Ochiluf, maybe say the opposite way. And don't start with the assumption that mechubar is also betnan. Ma nevad shasur betalish lahedyot, mutar mechubar legavoah. After all, something which is nevad, which is prohibited to even a regular citizen if it's not connected, perhaps let's start with the assumption that it is mechubar, is mutar even legavoah, shenamar Elohim aleharim, v'lo harim Elohim, as we already saw that drasha. So lo shta lehedyot, lo shta gavoah, which means there is no such thing, there is no avodah zarah that attaches to mountains or hills or rivers or anything that's part of the landscape. So etnan shemuta b'tal shleidut. So certainly an etnan, which I as a private citizen can benefit from, and odin shemuta b'chuba legavoa, certainly could be used legavoa, because he's saying your assumption that you cannot use an etnan even b'mechubar is maybe not true. Ve'im ishum beit Hashem lekecha, and you think that the end of the pasuk that says lo tavi etnan zonah mechir kelev beit adonai levecha, which tells you that even mechubar is usur, maybe it doesn't mean that. By the Chiddushanya, I need Beit Hashem Lekecha for something else. Beit Adonai Levecha Prat LePara Sheina Baal LeBayit. Divrei Rabbi Elazar. Rabbi Elazar says that a Para Duma that's an Etnan Zona is Mutter because Beit Hashem Lekecha is a delimiter and says that the only prohibition is things that come into the Beit HaMikdash, not things that that don't come in, like the Para. Chamomrim, they say LeRabo Tatarikuim. Actually, Beit Hashem Lekecha is there to include not only Korbanot, but even curtains and other adornments of the Mikdash. But Beit Hashem Lekecha is not there to tell you mechubar. So Amar Le, Rava said to his Talmid, Ana ka amina lechum, Ravi Amar lekula. Now I use the Kal v'chomer to go lahachmir and to say that mechubar is even mechubar is also legavoa. And you were using a Kal v'chomer to go the opposite way and say that not only mechubar is muta legavoa, but mechubar be'etnan is muta legavoa. And whenever you can go in either one of those ways, and they're fairly even as far as the logical weight of each argument, we go lechumra. So Rav Papa l'Rava. So Rav Papa, who's Rav Huna ben Rabbi Yeshua's buddy, turns to his Rebbe and says, "V'chol hecha de'ika lekula lechumra lekula lo parchinan." Well, we always go in that direction when they could go either way, and you have a kal v'chomer that's pretty even in each direction. We always go lechumra. V'ha-hazah de Pesach, the famous machloket about whether we could do hazah on somebody who has his seventh day of Tumah come out on Shabbat, which is Erev Pesach. And if you give him the hazah, then he could eat the Korban Pesach that night, and if you don't, he won't. And there's the machloket or Belazar Bekiva, very famous in the sixth parak, second Mishnah of Masachet Pesachim. Machloket or Beliezer and his Talmud Rabbi Akiva. To Rabbi Eliezer, Sabar Lechumra, become a chayiv le legavra. He says lechumra that we can't be mazeh, and therefore he says, that we are mazeh, and therefore if the guy doesn't take advantage of it, he's chayav karet. Rabbi Kiva lekula upatar. He says you're patur because you're still tameh. The kavarach Rabbi Kiva lekula, and Rabbi Kiva nonetheless uses a kavachomer lekula as he says that none. Heshiv Rabbi Kiva in the middle of this whole back and forth. He said ochiluf. I could say the opposite way. Umazah she mishum shvut and adoch haShabbat. Hazah, which is only a drabonant to do hazah on Shabbos, is not doch haShabbat. Shchita she doraita lekol shekain. So he argues that maybe you can't even do shchita of the Korban Pesach on Shabbat. The whole famous thing about with Hillel, you can't do the shchita of the Korban Pesach on Shabbat because after all, shchita is doraita. Hazah is only drabonant. We don't do it. So he was going lekula, meaning the leniency of saying you're not chayav in Korban Pesach. And Rabbi Kiva himself, who was arguing lechumra, presented this argument lekula. So you see that we do such a thing. Hatam Eliezer Gamre Gamare Va'ikar LeTamuda. The answer is there. Rabbi Eliezer, who was an older man now, had originally presented this argument himself. Then he had forgotten it. V'yata Rabbi Kiva Light Korot. Rabbi Kiva came along to remind him, Rebbe, this is your argument that you used. Amar Le Rebbe of Altachbrin Mishat Hadin. He said to him, Rebbe, don't deny things to me. Don't deny the truth at this point of judgment. You taught me that Hazah is only a Shvut and still it's not Doche Shabbat. So as he was just arguing to Rebbe Elazar and saying, this is what you said, but he himself wasn't presenting Lekula. Okay, so that was the first question, is whether or not you could use the rocks of this mountain that was worshipped for the rocks of a Mizbeach, and Rava ended up proving that you cannot. And because we said that if you could argue just as forcefully, lekula lechumra, you go lechumra, and that's the halacha. Now, by Rabbi Yehoshua, he asked a second related question. Rishtachavela kamat chitim, if you bow down to stalks of wheat, mahu limnachot, can you then mill that wheat, turn it into flour, and make a mincha out of it to be brought down the Mizbeach? It's sort of the same question, but it's a little bit different, because here you're changing it. And here we see. And the question is, yesh shinu b'nevad or ain't shinu b'nevad? Do we say that once something is nevad, but then it becomes changed in its form, that changes it into something new, and it's not nevad anymore, or not? Resort to Breda of Nachman, Toshma. So if Nachman's son brought the following raya. Kol asrin l'gamei mizbeach v'ladoten mutarin. Anything that's osa l'mizbeach, like a nirbar or muktzeh, if it has a baby, that baby's muta l'mizbeach. V'tani l'abra b'li Yezor sinu. Well, Yezor says it's not. V'lavit maralan. We learned concerning that. Nachman Ravu amachloked k'shen nirba ulu v'sof ibru. That's only if first they were violated, thus making them asur l'mizbeach, and only after that they were they then became pregnant. So the animal became pregnant after it was already asur. Aval ibru l'sof nirba'u, but if it was pregnant when the isur happened, divrei kol asurin. Certainly everybody agrees it's asur. And the hachinami ki ibru l'sof nirba'u dami. This wheat was put into its form when it was already asur. It's like it was pregnant and then, it was pregnant and then it became nirba, the bestiality that made it asur. Same thing here. This wheat was wheat, and then it was worshipped, then it turned into flour. So therefore it should be asur. So ikadami machlokek shenirba l'asof ibru. Actually, there's a version that says that the machloket or b'lozon chachomim is only if they were first nirba, bestiality attack on the animal, and then became pregnant, so that this animal grew inside of it as an pasul mizbeach. But the opposite, if it was first pregnant and then became the bestiality, then everybody agrees it's asur. And we point out, the Rishonim point out that there's really no difference between these two versions. Okay, so hachi hashta, let's see if they're really alike. In the case of the animal, it was an animal, it is an animal. It was an animal inside, it's an animal outside, it's just in a different place. We had just had a door in its way, then it left. But here, it's first wheat, now it's flour. So you really can't compare the two. So it could be that the flour is mutar l'menachot. Okay, third question. By Resh Lakish. If you bow down to a palm tree, ma'ol mitzvah, can you use the lulav for a lulav shel mitzvah? In other words, not the same question, because it's not coming to the mikdash. Certainly, if you planted a tree for purposes of making it an asherah, no question, that's the Mishnah in Sukkah Gimel Aleph, Lula Vagozov Shel Asherah Apostle. I'm not allowed to use it either, even for my own purposes, certainly not for a mitzvah. This is only a tree that you first planted, then worshipped. I'm not asking according to Rabbi Yosef Yehuda, because after all, he agrees that if, according to his position, if the tree was first planted and then worshipped, it's asur, as we saw a couple daf ago when we went into detail on that sugya. So our only question is, according to the Rabbanan of Yerushalayim Yehuda, and only if it was planted first and then worshipped. L'inyan mitzvah mai. Question is, do they say l'mitzvah that it's also mutter, or the mitzvah, it's mouse. Mi ma'is klape gavo arlo. Is it rejected for use for Hashem or not? So, Kiyat Rav Dimi Amar, he comes back, Rav Dimi came from Eretz Yisrael and said, Bashirah shebidlah kemi ba'ilei. We're talking about an asherah that you negated, that you canceled. And his question was this, Yesh di'ichwe etzal mitzvot, or ain't di'ichwe etzal mitzvot? So, what Rish Lakish's question was, is if a mitzvah gets rejected, meaning an object gets rejected from use as a mitzvah, for a mitzvah, can it then be revivified? Can it be then rehabilitated? Or once it's rejected forever. Right? That's the idea. And so therefore, since this tree was originally asherah, and therefore the branches on it were asur lulav, even though the goy came along and was mevatel and spat on the tree and said, you're worth nothing to me and you're not a god anymore, nonetheless, this lulav may be nidche, or perhaps not. So tifshut levit it non. Perhaps we could learn it from the following Mishnah in Chulin. Kisal v'nit galet. Let's say that you did kisui adam. The dam you're supposed to cover from a bird or from fowl or from chaya. And let's say you covered it up and the wind came along and blew it over. Patur b'lechasot. You don't have to cover it again. But kisau aruach, if the wind, let's say, blew sand over the blood, then you still have to cover it. In other words, that's not good enough. But he says that's only if it became uncovered. Then you have to cover it up. But if it was covered up, the wind covered it up, and it stayed that way, you don't have to cover it up. Which proves to you, in our discussion about that, we said, who cares that it got re-uncovered? Right now, this blood, once it was covered by the wind, at moment one that it was covered by the wind, it's already blood that doesn't need to be covered. It's nilche. So therefore, the fact that the wind then came along and uncovered it, it shouldn't be, suddenly, a new chiyuv should not be generated, or the old chiyuv shouldn't be regenerated. And Viamar Papa, what did Rav Papa say? Zotomer, ain't dichu etzel mitzvot. So Papa says, from the fact that you are chayav to cover it up, proves that mitzvot are not permanently knocked out of use just because at one point in their existence they are. And therefore it should be that this lulav should be mutar to be used. Now the answer is to Rav Papa gufei bailei. We were asking really about Rav Papa's conclusion. Mifsha pshita la Rav Papa de enri chayav etzel mitzvot. Is Rav Papa sure that enri chayav etzel mitzvot? Lo shna l'kula v'lo shna l'chumra, meaning whether you're going leniently and saying you're now able to use the lulav, or stringently, which is that you now have to go and cover up this dam, right? In other words, that he's absolutely sure that ain't dichu etzel mitzvot, or perhaps odilmam sfukim asafkale, maybe he's not sure if he is dichui. Well, l'chumra amrina, we only say it l'chumra, l'kula lo amrina, we don't say it l'kula, which means he'll say that you have to recover the blood, but he won't say that you could use this lulav that belonged to an ashera that subsequently was mitpatel. The answer is teku. Rish Lakish is the answer. Rish Lakish's question is teku according to that. Now, Bar Papa asked the following question. If you bow down to an animal, can you use its wool for tchelet? So our question is tchelet to mine. Tchelet for what? Eat tchelet the Kohanim. If it's tchelet for the big day kuhuna, that's from Bacham's question about Gavoa. If it's tchelet tzitzis, if on the other hand it's tchelet for the purpose of tzitziot, then hainu bayad Rish Lakish. That's what Rish Lakish asked about using this property of a mitzvah, for a mitzvah. The answer is Ina Chinami, you're right. To Lohav in the Mibile. There was not a question about the Tchelet. That wasn't his real question. Vahai the Kaboileha, the reason he asked it was Mishum Deika Mili Achranaita. If you bow down to an animal, there's not just the wool to deal with. Simra Maul Tchelet was the first part of the question. Karnal Maul Chatzatzrot can use its horns to make the trumpets in the Mikdash. Shokel Maul Chalilin, what about its calves? Can you take the bone of the animal and turn it into a Chalil? B'nei me'eha, ma'ol le'porot, can you use its guts for strings for the instruments? And here's the question. There's a machloket we'll get to in Arachin about whether the main component of Shira in the Beit HaMikdash was the musical instruments, or was it mainly the singing? So if you say it's mainly the musical instruments, then vadayasir, certainly you can't use this animal that was worshipped, because that's clearly gavoa, to use its parts to make instruments. That's certainly not a question. But according to the position that the main music in the Mikdash was the singing, and the instruments were there to accompany it, that's what the question was. Do we say that the instruments are just there to help the voice out a little bit, but they're not central to it, and therefore you can use them? But they're being used in the Mikdash, so they're aser, and the answer is teku. Okay, boy, Rabbi asked him, if you bow down, somebody bows down to a well or a spring, can you use the waters for the Nesachim on the Mizbeach and Sukkot? Mike and Bailey, what's his question? Is he asking, is the person bowing to his reflection or to the water? So Bailey say for lahedyot, and then let him ask the question about using a cup for a regular person. Forget about the nesachim. Question is, what's the focus of worship, and therefore it's usher. So they all know the Maya Kasagid. Everybody agrees he's bowing to the water. Achim Bailey, this is his question. The Maya the Kameka Sagid, is he bowing to the water that's passing in front of him now? But Kamoy Kamoy Azdu, and they're all gone. He's powering down to the source of the spring. And that's the question. Now, why would that become a sur? Rav Yochanan, quoting Rav Shimon ben Yotzadak, said, public waters can't become usur. In other words, nothing public. And you can't go to some area that doesn't belong to it. It's in the public and bow down and worship it. So the answer is, if he has a spring coming up in his own property, then indeed he could usher it if he worships it, if that's the way that those things play out. And that's, of course, what's left as the question. Okay, we'll pause at this point and pick up in the next podcast. In the meantime, everybody should have a wonderful day.